I'm going to read a few psalms, and I'm going to start in Psalm 145. Oh, we're going to have a time today. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you say, I didn't get to read my Bible this week. That's okay. We're going to take care of it today. You say, I didn't get to read this morning. That's okay. We're going to take care of it today. Amen. Read your Bible. Well, Pastor, I don't get messages. That's okay. Just read your Bible. Just read it. Read it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Just read it. So I'm going to read it, and I'm going to make a few. Yeah, I'm going to start in 145. This may be longer than the Ephesians message. Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. Every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. This sounds like somebody who's been touched, somebody who has been blessed by God. Because he says, every day I will bless you. And if you know me and you know how it works, the reason why we love God is because he loved us. Is that right? And the reason why we bless God, help me finish it, is because he has blessed us. That's why I'm saying this man, this writer, it says it's a Psalm of David, is one who has been blessed by God. Great is the Lord, verse 3, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You can't plumb the depths of his greatness. And so as we are with him throughout eternity, after, like, I can't say so long in eternity because there's no time in eternity, but we will never plumb the depths of his greatness. We will always be, imagine, the seraphim and cherubim who have been seeing views of his greatness from eternity past, and they are still in awe of his greatness as he reveals himself. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. One version says, they will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. That whole section right there, verses 4-7, reminded me of Tuesday night when we sit around and we talk about the goodness and the greatness of our God. And I'm telling you something, that is something when we get together, even when we call one another, it is not the time to complain and to, you know, over this, that, and the other. We ought to have something good to say about our God. Why? It doesn't have to be contrived, because everything he does is good. Everything he does is good. The Lord is gracious, verse 8, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. Look at that. The Lord is good to all. Now, what you'll notice about this passage of scripture going forward, particularly when we get down to verse 14, there is a lot of the psalmist starts using a lot of all-inclusive words like all and every, and which leaves no one out. And here is one of them where it says, the Lord is good to all, his tender mercies are over all his works. And so Jesus said that he causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. He causes the rain to fall on the righteous and the wicked. Isn't it a wonder to you how God sustains sinners? He sustains them like he sustained us. He said, but we came to Christ. Yeah, but there's some who are not coming to Christ, and he sustains them. This is his, all of this is his. And he causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. God is good to all, to all. Verse 10, all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. One of the things I had in my notes was this, because we're going to be looking at how Jesus is the head of the church, and however briefly, but our head, beloved, is not in Fairfax. Our head is not in Richmond. Our head is not in Washington, D.C. Our head is in heaven. Ephesians 1 says that he was resurrected from the dead. He was ascended and sat at the right hand of the Father. And all principalities and powers are under his feet. That's where our head is. And so when we look to anything in this life, we look to our head, the head of the church. That's Jesus Christ. We don't look to, we got this political campaign going on and it gets more bizarre by the day. And I said it before and I'm going to say it again, that God is wanting the church not to look to any man. That's inclusive of women too, right? So don't look to man, look to me. But you say, why is it so weird right now? Because God's trying to get the church's attention. And you got, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You got Jerry Falwell Jr. down there at Liberty University saying, Trump is he's the one we need. And I'm looking at him. And the Holy Spirit keeps talking to me and says, don't look to man. Do not look to man. Because man will fail you. Man will fail you. He wants the church to look to him. Look to me. Okay? Verse 14, the Lord upholds all that fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you. You give them their food in due season. So while all the world's complaining, conniving, trying to get this, trying to get that promotion, and trying to get this, and I recently watched the JFK. I watched some video about JFK, and ever since I've been like crazy watching these, trying to figure this thing out. Not figure it out, but just in awe of how man tries to grab power for himself and have his own way when God is providing for everyone so that everyone can have what they need to live. This is what the scripture says. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Every living thing. And yet not every living thing is looking to you that way. Certainly not man. The animals are. Amen. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 146, I'm going to read a little bit of it, not the whole thing, because I got a few more psalms to get through. Okay? Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Listen, while I live, this is a passage of scripture that a year ago was burning up on the inside of me every time I thought about it, because listen at what David says, while I live, I will praise the Lord. That means every day, beloved, when I wake up in the morning and I'm conscious that he's given me another day, I have got to praise the Lord. And I don't mean just in the morning. I mean, I've got to praise him all day long. I have to listen to what he says. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. While I have my being. And while I know that I exist, I will praise the Lord. So that's every waking moment. Amen. Verse 3 enunciates just what I said earlier. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Now, I didn't say don't look to man. God said don't look to man. Don't put your trust in Hillary. Don't put your trust in Gary Johnson. Don't put your trust in Donald Trump. Don't put your trust in Jill Stein. All of these. And there's one other guy just entered the race. I forget his name. He's a Republican. I can see his face, but I can't call his name. Don't put your trust in him. Why? Because there's no help in the Son of Man. Listen, verse 4, his spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that day, very day, his plans perish. Verse 5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. Happy is he, fortunate, blessed is he whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. Happy is the person who trusts in the Lord. Jeremiah 7:17 would be in the margin of your scripture, because it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Blessed is the man. Before that, it says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and who makes the arm of flesh his strength. Oh, no, we don't trust in man. We trust in God. We trust only in him. Who executes justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, and the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Psalm 147, oh my goodness. I'm going to skip that one. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Psalm 148 tells us who should praise the Lord. Or what should praise the Lord? Watch it. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him all his angels. Praise him all his hosts. Praise him sun and moon. Praise him all ye stars of light. Praise him you heaven of heavens. Praise him you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Oh, I love that. Let me say this is what God says should praise him. Everything that he spoke and commanded was created. He said should praise him. You know what that means? All of creation. All of creation should be praising God. See, now listen. In this passage of scripture, we see God presented not as redeemer, but as creator. Now, he's been coming to me lately. I don't know. The scriptures that have to do with creation mean a lot to me. And, you know, it's unique to the Christian message. The message of the doctrine of creation. See, some hold that this world has always been here. It's an eternal universe, always been here. Like, for real? Where'd it come from? Well, it's always been here. Okay, but it's matter. How can matter always be here? No, it doesn't make sense. Especially when they can see that there was a point in time when there was no matter. And if they can see that, then it means it was a time when it wasn't here. Verse 6, he also established them forever and ever and made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Watch now, he's saying, this is all who or what should praise him. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Watch it, here's where we come in. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Now that's in the Old Testament speaking of ancient Israel, but beloved, we are spiritual Israel. We are the Israel of God. Galatians chapter 6, right? And Ephesians chapter 2 says that you who were once afar off have been brought near through Christ. You are no longer strangers and aliens from the covenants of promise, but now you have been brought into the covenant, and we are now near to him through Christ Jesus. So when it says a people near to him, beloved, you and I are included in that. Okay? Now it goes on, Psalm 149. We got two more psalms to look at here. Let's see. Hold on. I may have to jump back to something. Where is it? Hold on, wait a second. Yeah, it's in Psalm 147. I got to back up for a second. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Listen, it is good to sing praise. Listen, let me tell you what it didn't say. It didn't say it is good for God to receive our praises, because he doesn't benefit from it. It said it is good for us to sing praises to him. Listen, you benefit when you sing praises to God. There's something that happens on your account that happens in you, for you, when you sing praises to God. You think that's part of the reason why God commanded for us to sing praise to him? Listen, he knows who he is. Listen, there's no one of us that can ascribe greatness to him more than he already knows he's great. It wasn't for his benefit that he said to praise him. It's for our benefit, so that we can get our vision and our perspective off of this horizontal plane, off of all the things that would vie for our attention, so that we could lift up our heads, cast our eyes upon him, and be totally enraptured with who he is. Come on. Oh, when you see him. When you see him. My God. Okay, it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Now, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. That's what he does. That's who he is. He counts the numbers of the stars. He calls them all by name. I got lost right there, because I really love the cosmos. I love looking at the stars. I mean, I just love it. The beauty of it is beyond, and yet he calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. Verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving and sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, and makes grass to grow on the mountains. Have you noticed this past, earlier this year, we got a far more expected rain. Everyone remember when it was, I think it was June, they said we had 14 or 21 days straight of rain. I think it was 14. But it was a lot of rain. And what I began to notice was the vegetation. It's beautiful to me, because I see trees in our neighborhood, and as I'm driving down the street, there's growth, like where the sidewalk, it's all over in the sidewalk. And it's far more than it ever was any other year that I've seen. There are street signs. You can't even read them, because we had so much rain, and it causes the vegetation to grow lusciously. I mean, it's just everywhere. And see, as I'm driving down the street, and I think about this word, I just start smiling. I just start grinning, because I said, Lord, you did that. You did it, Father. I mean, it's just so beautiful, because if he didn't do it and we had a drought here, beloved, we would be complaining like crazy. So when we have a whole lot of vegetation, we ought to give God thanks. He makes the grass to grow, he gives to the beasts his food and to the young ravens that cry. Listen, verse 10. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. And this next one really got me, because we have the Olympics on. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. Now, I know we do, and mommy couldn't do what she do without her legs. You know, you got to have your legs. You got to have the strength of your legs. But God takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. And so when the Olympian goes and they and they get the gold, and they're jumping up and down, and you know everything, and they're rejoicing. Guess who gave them the strength to do what they did? Did you see the 4x, what was it, the 4x4? No, the 4x100, the American ladies won the 4x100. When they got down to the end, they all gathered around, and they started praying right there on the track. They started recognizing the one who gave them the ability to do what they do. So it says, the Lord, he does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. He takes pleasure in those who hope in his mercy. Everyone can't be an Olympian. Everyone can't be the fastest or the strongest. But every person can hope in the Lord. Everyone can fear the Lord as his word comes to them. Okay? For he has strengthened, verse 13, he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. Who can stand before his cold? Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Now, Psalm 148 said who and what should praise the Lord. Psalm 149 begins to tell us how. And it continues in Psalm 150. So he says, praise the Lord in a song. How to do it? Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Now, the Ugandan, and I'm sure the churches of Africa could help us out a lot in this. I don't know any other continent where the church is located where they could help us more than any other continent with this next line. Verse 3 says, let them praise his name with the dance. Ah, the Caribbean, too. The Caribbean. Boy, there's some churches in the Caribbean, man. You go, and as soon as the music starts, the folk are, oh, hey, ho, 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 and they're praising the Lord. Now, see, we up here, you know, from European, more European descent, we get up in the church and get, oh, he's glorious, he's worthy. Like, oh, I'm so joyful, I can hardly stand it. Oh, yeah, no. Let them praise him in the dance. Now, you know how we are. We say, when we were all out in the world, come on. Not only did we dance, we danced. How did, I think it was Lionel Richie say, all night long. Yeah, we danced all night long till you couldn't dance anymore. But as soon as we got in the church, hello? God said, praise me with a dance. I made your hands. I made your feet. I made your heart. I made you with emotions. I made you to feel like you want to run. I made you feel like you want to scream. You want to shout. Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout! He wrote that. Man didn't write it. He shouted. So he said, this is how you praise me. But the scripture says, shout. There's some people have never got above a whimper. I'm not comparing you to anybody else. I'm saying compare it to the word of God. The word of God said, shout. So he said, let them praise him, his name, in the dance. And so I'll never forget when Moses first got up and started his dun, 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 hey. I said, oh, I feel that. Yeah, hey. Ah, and they got the headdress on today. My God, I feel like you could come up here and dance. Dun, 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 dun. Got the, oh my Lord, oh, I love it. Don't you love it? Listen, heaven is not, oh my God, help us, Jesus. Heaven is not going to be a place around with these angelic choirs. Ooh, hello. Every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Every tribe, tongue, people, and my God, heaven. Oh, can't you taste it? Listen, you're going to be totally set free. In heaven, you won't think 1 minute about what somebody else thinks. Oh, I wonder if they're looking. You won't. No, no. You won't care. You won't care. You're going to be totally liberated. Everything he said to do, you'll be able to do. Let them praise him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Remember what I said, we love him because he first loved us. If the Lord takes pleasure in us, guess what's going to happen for us to him? We're going to take ultimate delight and pleasure in him. My God, so that I can't imagine. You know, it's like the only way we can like envision things in heaven is from an earthly perspective, because this is all we know. And so, you know, as you're a child of God, you know, you have pictures of this big God you're climbing. I have pictures of him running to him, and I'm looking at him. And once he looks at me, I melt, man. I just, because his love just consumes me when I look at him. And I say, and I've never known that here, but in my little boyish type of earthly mindset, that's just the picture that I have of our wonderful Father who calls us to himself in worship. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. You know, when we get in praise and worship, and sometimes we get really loud here, right? I've had people tell me before, Pastor, your worship is loud. I go, yeah, don't you love it? And the scripture says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And the praise gets high. And it gets angelic, and it gets heavenly. And there's times when you feel like, you feel like you're gonna go, and you just you hear Jessica. you ever see Jessica over here? She looked like she stopped. Jessica, and I look over there and I go, there she goes, Jesus. Your daughter is just gone in worship, and you just want to be with him. Right? Okay. Last chapter. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Where it starts dealing with where? In his sanctuary. Praise him in his firmament. Then four. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel. And here it is again. Praise him with the dance. And I'll never forget, a couple months ago, we had a service. Lord, I'll never forget. We had a service. And little over here, there was somebody standing back in here. And I saw her walking around like this. And I knew what was happening. She's walking around like this, and she finally just jumped out. Oh! And Sherry Lynn out started. Oh! Then she started coming around the church, and the whole church started praising the Lord in the dance. And Quecko looked like a jumping bean that had turned loose. You had left on top of the stove, and he was popping. He was just because all of that is in us. Because all of that is in the Word, and the Word is in us. We've been born of incorruptible seed of the Word of God. All of this is in us. Okay? That's why when we read it and it ignites, that's where the amen comes from. It's a witness bearing witness. The Word bears witness with what is inside. So we're to praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him on the loud cymbals, Justin. Man, my boy get to hitting them cymbals. I say, hey, hit them, man, on God. And I can't tell you how many times, especially of late, that the Holy Spirit has come upon Justin as he's hit the drums. And it just ignited. That day that we broke out in the dance, it started back there. As far as I was hearing, it started. Tori even said so. Dad, yeah, Justin. Because the Spirit of God, it says to praise him with all these things. And so as we do that, then he comes and joins in. Amen? It's the fulfilling, it's the blessing of obedience. So we praise him. With the loud cymbals, with the clashing cymbals, let everything that hath breath. Who and what should praise the Lord? Everything that hath breath should praise the Lord. Praise his holy name. Amen. For those of you who arrived late, let me tell you what's happening. The internet went down and I couldn't get to my sermon notes, but the Lord had given me another sermon, so which was reading these Psalms. And so there we have it. Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, for the treasure of the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Lord, who the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit constantly that we are your sons and your daughters. We are your very own people. Father, we cannot get over what you have done. We stand in awe of the work of redemption and salvation, Lord, that you have instituted, that you have started, and you will complete until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that all this week, Lord, that each and every one of us would continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, day by day, moment by moment, Lord, as your Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious and holy name. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.